You can go from, I should start a podcast, to actually starting a podcast with Spreaker. Spreaker's tools allow you to record, manage, distribute, and monetize any podcast idea, whether it's about your business or even your cat. And as your podcast grows, Spreaker helps you manage your success and even monetize it. That means all you need to get started is a microphone and a really good idea. Learn more and get 30% off at Spreaker.com/get started. That's Spreaker.com/get started.
Welcome to the Poetry and Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Broadcasting live from the Firefall Studio, the only place you get to hear us live is on Spreaker.com. If you want a fresh word, you want to hear it while it's happening, 7 p.m. Wednesday nights Eastern Time, that's the way to do it. Getting back to basics, examining the Word of God, especially the Book of Acts Church. Tonight we're going to be focusing on that. Porch Online Bible Study is here to take a deeper look into how that early church served the Lord. And I believe by doing so we find and restore the priesthood of the believer and regain the world-shaking influence the early church had. Take a deeper look into Scripture. We don't filter it. We don't water it down. And I believe we find the church the Lord intended, not the one that man created. Because the church age is still in effect. It's not over. Day of Pentecost continues. The fire still falls. The Porch is an outreach. The Porch, not Porchy. I don't know who Porchy is. The Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. on solomonsporch.org. If you have any questions, go there. Use the contact button. If you'd like to support what we do here on Firefall Talk Radio, go to firefalltalkradio.com. The bottom of the main page, there's ways to do that. Bookmark us on spreaker.com/user/Firefall Talk Radio. We appreciate your support and encouragement, and our Blog Talk, iTunes, iHeartRadio listeners. And I've yet to receive a confirmation about Spotify, but I'm looking into that. If you are listening to The Porch every week now, we're no longer in a separate show. So when you click in, make sure you're getting that main link and not a previous show. It's easy to do now that everything's all mixed up together. Continue to pray for the victims of recent earthquakes and volcanoes. The world is shaking. The ring of fire is very active. We need to pay attention to that. Don't be afraid, but be alert. Continue to pray for America. We are very disjointed right now for a lot of reasons. Light and darkness are battling it out. We know that light wins, but there will be casualties. There will be fallout from it all. But in all of it, I praise the Lord. I praise Him for my home. I praise Him for my wife, my family, sons, daughter-in-laws, our grandson, JJ, our furry kids, our possessions, everything we have. I am thankful for that. I'm thankful for my salvation, my relationship with Him, His protection over us and over this ministry. I'm thankful for the healing of my right knee. The healing virtues exist, folks. I have a praise report in that regard, and the ability to praise Him and do that because I'm a new creation living in these times. If you remember, I mentioned last week about prayer for my knee. Well, 2 weeks ago yesterday, walking in the dark, I took a fall, and a very serious fall. My right knee went straight into the ground, tile floor. From the pain and the impact, I really expected it to be very bad, not the least of which, without insurance, it should have been very expensive. Well, He took care of it all. It was probably, I can't even tell you how little it was in regards to what it could have been. And the MRI, the x-rays came back nothing. And the MRI came back, there's, you know, some bruises and some other things that will heal. But He's still alive. He still protects us. He still answers prayers. and we must believe. And that's why we share this, and that's why we do this, to encourage you to keep your faith in Him. I pray for the Middle East. I always do. I pray for Israel and peace of Israel, which means I pray for the Prince of Peace to return. For the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice. Somebody's got to pray for them. Somebody has to stand in the gap for them. Hopefully you do this with me as well every day. Pray for our brothers and sisters around the world being slaughtered in the various places in Africa, China. The churches are being destroyed and they're being arrested. You know, we can act like we're getting along with people politically, but the truth is the horrors still exist in those nations. I pray for divine wholeness, health, and healing in all of me, the continued healing of my knee, which by all natural means could take another 4 to 6 weeks, but I'm believing God's going to do that as miraculously as well. A healing in my wife and all of you. Let's get back to our divine design. I am ready to praise the Lord. I am ready to move on, deal with the harvest, help set the captives free. We can't do that if we're sick, if we're unhealthy. I'm praying for divine protection and inspiration over us. I'm praying for what I call the remnant to rise up, wake up, answer the call to action. And if you've been blessed financially, then be a blessing. Yeah, I don't normally do this, but what we do here on Firefall Talk Radio on the porch, what SRT does, the vision for Firefall Productions and the documentaries, it takes money to do that. If you've been blessed, then be a blessing. I'm praying that we would all prosper in accordance with His word so that we can help others and bless the kingdom. Nick in Dallas has asked for prayer. Past Friday, he slipped and fell into a steel machine at work, injured his shoulder. He's thankful that it's just a rotator cuff sprain, nothing broken or fractured, so it's kind of a praise report, prayer request. Stacy in Texas, being transparent, says, I'm not going to lie, I'm barely keeping up with everything, but I wouldn't change it for anything. Thankful for all of it, family, furry kids, all the like-minded believers. She's asking for God's blessing and protection over them, an unspoken prayer request for her marriage, for her mom, and her family. She asked that God would be with those who are hurting, those who are persecuted, asking for prayer for their home to sell and for them to find one there. And she says, Dad, please show me how to be more like you in Jesus' name. Kim in Fort Mitchell, checking on me, asking about my knee. It is doing well, Kim. And she's doing better today. She survived the worst case of food poisoning she can ever recall having. Boy, that's pretty bad. You really think you're... No, I'm not even going to go into that. Too graphic. Sick for 3 days, fever, chills, all that goes with it. And grateful she's feeling better because that was not fun, y'all. She threw in that, y'all, I think you did that to mess with me. So her car broke down last week, folks. $400 she didn't have, but had to do. So if there's anybody out there that wants to help Kim out, let me know. I'm thankful for my salvation, the ability to see that these attacks by the enemy to make me question everything because I'm learning. Grateful for her sobriety and for her children, for her friend Stacy in this ministry. She says, I feel at home here. I'm going to lay this out there as a prayer request from before. We have a lot of you that are spread out, most of you in certain areas. I would really love to be able to get everybody together at some event somewhere and be able to sponsor people that want to come but can't afford to come. So pray about that. Pray the Lord leads me how to do that. Says, I want to ask you to pray with me for my husband's soul as well as my mother's protection over my family, deliverance for my children and I. Said, Father, please work out this situation she's been praying for in her favor. Bruno's tumor is getting bigger, so she's asking for the Lord to heal him. She starts her classes on October 15th. God, please guide me, take my hand, use me. Thank you for loving me, thank you for choosing me, and thank you for saving me. Help me to forgive others as well as myself for what I did in the past before I knew you. You were always there. Father, protect us, our families, pets, and possessions. Show us how to shine your light in Jesus' name. Father, you know all these things, but we're doing what you said. We're speaking them out loud. We're believing that by faith we receive them. We know that you are as good as your word, and your word is good. So we believe right now for the blessings, for the healing, for the deliverance, for the salvation, for the answers to prayer. We thank you ahead of time for all of it. We thank you for Yeshua. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for reconciliation and restoration and relationship with you, Father. Without you, we're nothing. We have nothing. We are nothing. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that. We thank you for the pain, for the blood, for everything that you did on our behalf, what we never could have done for ourselves. So we ask that you bless us. Help us take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Messiah. Claiming the mind of Messiah, we cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of El Elyon, God Most High, our Father. Holy Spirit, we thank you. And we ask that you be with us and teach us and encourage us and walk with us and hold us up. And we thank you for guiding us, for a word of warning. And I read a story, Father, about a pilot just before that earthquake in Indonesia, that massive earthquake. He said he heard the audible voice of God, told him to hurry up, and he got permission to take off 3 minutes sooner. Had he not done that, they would have perished in that earthquake. He listened to your voice and he praised you out loud, sang praise songs at the top of his voice. We do that right now, Father. We praise you. We thank you that you love us and you take care of us. So bless this time, bless the technology, and bless this word. I ask all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information, the manner presented, is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So the title of tonight's lesson is called Abiding Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what inspired it. Back when we had the home church in Tallahassee, we did our own praise and worship. We did them from CDs with words on an overhead projector up on a sheet that hung on the wall. And an album came out just about the time that we started the fellowship by Ron Canole called Lift Him Up. So we used a lot of the songs in it, plus other songs. And one of the songs that really touched us, I was reminded of again, and I started to play it, and I started to sing it. And it was called Anointing, Fall on Me. And I'll just read you the words and tell you what happened while I was singing it. The words are, Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Touch my hands, my mouth, and my heart. Fill my life, Lord, every part. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. So I was singing it on my Spotify app. I pulled it up. I found it on there. And while I was singing it, I'm listening to the words, and I hear the Lord ask me a question. He goes, why are you singing the song? And I went, I remember how it felt in the home church. I remember the feeling from it. And I could get the sense he was telling me to listen to the words. And I realized that what I was singing about was an external manifestation of the Holy Spirit touching me as if it was coming from heaven to me. And all of a sudden, all the songs that we've sung since then and all the songs I see people post online or that they do in some of these big conferences are in error. They are presenting a relationship with the Holy Spirit that is externally manifested. That's not scriptural. Yes, in the Old Testament, the anointing of the Holy Spirit fell on people like the song said. But after Calvary, after Pentecost, after the upper room, the relationship with the Holy Spirit is internal. It's not external. So let's just go through the scriptures and take a real good look at this, because here's what I think. I'm going to give you the reason before we even start so that you can dwell on it. I think that Hasatan and the Fallen are brilliant in that they know they can't stop the presence of the Holy Spirit. They know they can't stop the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, but what they can do is interfere with our understanding of it, which has made the church ineffective. Luke 24:49, Lord speaking, red letters. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. We've talked before that word endued means to soak into like a dye in a garment, which means it's permanent. Acts 1, starting verse 4, being assembled together with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promises of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then they asked him, Lord, at this time will you restore the kingdom? And he said, it's not for you to know times or seasons, which my Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, being endued, referring to before, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Acts 2, verse 1, day of Pentecost fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And there suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jump down to verse 4. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking. This is chapter 2, Acts 2, 4. I'm repeating it again. Filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled, diffused throughout their soul with the Holy Spirit. Endued, they were soaked into, they were dyed, they were filled internally. The permanent, universal among all believers indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit is at the heart of the distinctiveness of the Holy Spirit's work in the church age. You know, there were some people in the Old Testament that did have him inside of him, but most had an external manifestation, a momentary one. Wasn't permanently guaranteed, wasn't universally experienced. That's the effect of the new covenant. That's the effect of Calvary. That's the effect of the upper room. This is not an external Holy Spirit. We shouldn't be singing songs or praying prayers for an external manifestation of the Spirit to come into us. He is in us. He takes permanent residency. He has marked us. It's no wonder we're so ineffective. John 14:17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Constantly, forever, residing in you. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is the core to who we are. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. John 14:12. I've already shared this with you. That began the road to Revelation. Where is that? Where are the greater works? Well, I think the reason we haven't had the greater works is because we have misunderstood the application of the Holy Spirit. We've been tricked. We've been lied to by well-meaning people. Satan was defeated by the cross. His ability to block out and withhold the manifested presence of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, was removed. Colossians 2, starting verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He, capital H, Lord, has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbaths, which are the shadow of the things to come. But the substance is of Messiah. We have been completely redeemed and restored to the Father. There's no wall. There's no separation. There's nothing that keeps him and his Spirit from us. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit could not happen until Yeshua was glorified, until he rose from the grave and sat down at the right hand of the Father. If you remember in John chapter 7, on the last day of the great feast, Yeshua stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." John explains, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified." I hope that while I'm speaking, while I'm teaching, while I'm sharing these insights and these scriptures and the meaning, your mind is beginning to look at your relationship with the Holy Spirit differently. Your relationship with the Lord differently. You've been tricked by religion. You've been tricked by denominations. You've been tricked by teachers into thinking that you have to pray, that you have to praise, that you have to conjure it up. No, he's always there. You see, Yeshua restored the earthly glory that the Father had with Adam and Eve in the garden. When he says, John 17:5, "Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." He walked with Adam in the cool of the evening. He can't do that with us physically yet, but he can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. The only thing stopping you from the intimacy with Abba Father and with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit is your understanding of your relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is the bridge to those things. You know, when Yeshua was raised from the dead and he sat down at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, which, by the way, is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He's sitting on the throne. We're here. We are his physical representation to the world. Therefore, wouldn't it make sense that his Holy Spirit is within us, resides in us, is the fullness of who we are in him? Because he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what he was. That's what he is. We are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. There is no power in heaven and earth that can resist him. There is nothing in heaven, on earth, under the earth, anywhere, at any time, in which he is not Lord over. He is Lord of all. And for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Therefore, we are his body in the world. Shouldn't we be the representation of the fullness of God? In Messiah alone this is found, in no other name. No other name in heaven or on earth. No other preacher, speaker, teacher, prophet. None of them. I don't care who they are. I don't care what religion they started. I don't care how many millions of believers they have. There is one. Messiah. Yeshua alone. not philosophies, not vain deceit, not human traditions of Jews or Gentiles, not worldly principles. We are reconciled to him in one body. The cross was the bridge to the Father. The separation of sin was erased. And the Holy Spirit is what makes that work tangible, physical. He was not the shadow of the law. That word Godhead in the Greek, theotes, means deity, and it occurs only here, and it relates to the Godhead or the personal deity of Messiah. He was God incarnate. This is how he chose to come down to earth, to pay the price on the cross, to do what needed to be done. This is what the prophet Isaiah spoke about. This is what the angel Gabriel was describing and proclaiming to Mary. And here we are, these thousands of years later, still caught up in the error of religion as explained in the Old Testament. Isaiah 11:2, the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That was Yeshua, and that should be us. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the adversary, the devil, for God was with him. I'm only on page 5 here, and I've been praising and singing and doing this all day, and I'm excited, folks. And I already know this, and I'm excited by what I've read and what the Word has told me. Look at your life right now. Look at the things that you're dealing with. The only thing in between you and the answer is your faith. And what I mean by that, and there's no condemnation in this, how much do you believe? Not in you, not in your faith. How much do you believe in him? Last Tuesday morning in the dark when I tripped and fell, and that knee went straight into the tile floor, the first thing I did was cry out to the Lord. I laid hands on it. I wrapped my prayer shawl in it. I prayed over it. I asked for prayer. I did everything I needed to do in the natural as well. But my hope was in him. When I decided to finally go get the x-rays done, go to the doctor, get the x-rays and the MRI, I was expecting, without insurance, $700-$800, maybe $1,000. My total cost, $200. We must believe. We must get out of this mindset that he's way, way up there in heaven in a throne room distant from us. The way I was taught when I was a Roman Catholic, he's way up there and I'm way back here. No, 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 and I don't need that priest. I don't need your plaster Paris statue. I don't need your wooden cross. I don't need any of it. If I make him Lord of my life, I have direct access to the throne room, to my Father, to the Creator of the universe. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All the things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Colossians 1:16-18. If all of that is him, and I'm his, shouldn't that apply to me? You know, when I walk into these situations in ministry and with SRT, and all the things the Lord asked me to do, whether confronting a small demon or a Canaanite god or a major entity, a fallen angel, fallen watch, it doesn't matter. I'm walking in there, yes, with a bit of an attitude and a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. I've got a little strut going on. I know who my daddy is, but this is something else I know. I know that the one I serve, the Lord of my life, the love, my teacher, my master, my savior, my everything, the one to whom I have a relationship with the Father, the one who walked me into the throne room to meet my Abba Father, I know that he is highly exalted and has been given the name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, the ones in the pit, the ones in the prison, that every tongue, natural or supernatural, should confess that Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah, is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That scripture from Philippians 2:9-11, that's locked and loaded in my mind and in my heart. Because all authority in heaven and earth has been given to us who believe. That's what Matthew 28:18-20 tells us. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things as I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I call that an implied, a dispensed authority. Go, therefore. I have this authority, now go, you have it too. Remember Acts 1:8, you shall receive power, dunamis, effective, ability, efficiency, might, power that is capable of reproducing itself, self-replicating, it never ends, it never runs out, to be witnesses to him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. The Holy Spirit, the thing I'm talking about right now and getting a tad excited about, is the source of the power, the fuel of the machine of the evangelism and the missionary effort to the world. This book of Acts, this book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit, highlights the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit and its influence on the growth of the church. You can't escape that. You can't do it without this. It's no wonder the enemy has tricked entire denominations into ignoring it, into thinking it died with the last apostle, which is about as foolish as a thing I can think of. I'm not a theologian. I don't have a PhD, which I believe stands for Pretty Hopeless Dummy. I don't have a PhD after my name, but I know that just sounds dumb. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he makes it real clear where the Spirit's coming from, he will testify of me. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they did not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. You hear that, Hasatan, prince of the power of the air? You've been judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Now, how can he do that? Because he's connected to the Father and the Son in the throne room. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All the things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. I just took John 14:15-17, John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:7-15, and tied it together in one thought, because that's what it is. That's the core of it all. D.L. Moody says, God commands us to be filled with the Spirit, and if we are not filled, it's because we're living beneath our privileges. It's your privilege to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's your privilege to have the power of the Creator inside of you against His creation. Without the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, there is no church. There is no restoration. There are no calls and commissions. Without the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, there's no guide. There's no one to inspire us. There's no one to instruct and teach us. There are no signs and wonders. Nothing. There's no power to glorify the Lord. There's no presence to convict people of sin and lead them to salvation. There's nothing that warns the world or us. Without the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing to soften hard hearts. And there's nothing to energize and equip. So when we look at the abiding Spirit, it makes sense. If we think about it externally, hoping that it has to fall down, it doesn't make sense. I mean, really, as I've dwelled on this and thought about, I've looked at some of the praise and worship songs that I used to adore, that used to touch me, and now realize why it touched me. It was stirring me internally. And the presence I was feeling, the goosebumps, the hair on end, was coming from inside of me like static electricity from my body, responding to what was going on around me, outside of me. That's what I'm trying to awaken in you. That's what I'm trying to get the remnant to understand. There's a war coming. It's already begun. There's a confrontation coming between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And what are you going to have time in the midst of the battle? Hey, time out, man. I gotta pray. I gotta conjure up the Spirit. I gotta get him to fall on me. By that point, the enemy's rolled over top of you. But if it's percolating, if it's fired up, if it's inside of you, like David, you're running towards the battle. There's nothing that can keep your feet from moving. There's nothing that can keep you hold you down and hold you still. We need some of that. We need some people so filled with the Spirit that they leave scorch marks when they walk in the spirit realm, that the enemy can see them coming. Wait, there's something. What's that glowing thing? Well, the glowing's getting bigger. Wow, that's really hot. Oh, my goodness. That's a Spirit-filled believer that understands the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm out of here, man. I'm going to go mess with those believers, those Christians that don't get it. They're not locked and loaded. They're not fired up. What's it going to take? Right now, I'm just talking to you. I'm off my notes. Right now, my notes are the only thing that's keeping me from taking off. What's it going to take when you look at the evil in this world and the evil that's being done to babies, to children? They chop them up in the womb. Full term. Stick a pair of scissors in the back of their head. What's happening to his innocent animals? What we do to one another with the enemy? The free reign the enemy has in the world right now that they can just manifest. On TV, in movies, in public, in political arenas. Doesn't anybody have the gumption to stand up and say, be still, be quiet in the name of Yeshua? Doesn't anybody have the gumption and the power to call them out the way Paul and Peter did and the way John did? Hey, I've had enough of you. Come out of her in the name of Yeshua. Oh, we're afraid. We're afraid what people will think. We're afraid what the laws will do. Folks, we're running out of time. You come for me or mine. You try to come after anything that's mine. I'm coming for you. I'm coming in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm calling down fire. We have a clip from the deep darkness that I'm going to put into a trailer that some of you will be allowed to see. We had just gotten to the house that we were residing at. We weren't even at the Sally house. We had just gotten to our rooms and unpacking, and we heard this giant crash upstairs. Something was manifesting up in the top of the house and wanted to let us know that we were there. And it ticked me off. I mean, I told it. I'm tired from traveling. I just want to rest right now. I don't want to do this. And if you keep messing with me, I'm going to petition my father to put you into the pit. Now sit down and shut up. Not a peep. Not a word. Nothing. We are living temples filled with the Holy Spirit. Because of us and our relationship with the Lord through the Holy Spirit, once again, He is omnipresent on the earth through us, not localized as He was in a human body when He walked the earth, not limited in His abilities or His powers, although He was tremendous. We have been given the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. It's what He told the disciples, and they weren't even born again yet in Luke 10:19. But see, now He's no longer of this world, but He's of His kingdom. He's far above all power and might and principality and power. He sits in the throne room at the right hand of the Father in fullness, and we get to sit with Him in the heavenly places. Those are the greater works. That's why He said, "Greater works than these shall you do if I go to my Father." He did some great works, raising the dead, all the things that He did, the walking on the water. They even said they didn't record everything He did because it would fill so many books. And He said, "Greater works shall you do." That was the beginning of the heart's cry. "Lord, where are those greater works?" Every now and then somebody gets healed. Every now and then somebody has a word of prophecy and interpretation. Somebody gets cast a demon out. "Where are the greater works, Lord?" And He began to show me. He began to explain to me how He created us, how the universe works, how we interact with Him. And I began to get it. I began to get that the work that the apostles did when they preached everywhere and Him confirming His presence with them through signs and wonders was available to us, and we were lied to. Maybe not maliciously, maybe not deliberately, but it was a lie nonetheless. One of the things that happened today, I read this scripture. I've read it thousands of times. In almost 30 years, it'll be 30 years and next week that I've been saved. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah, for it is the power of God's salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." The fact that I am not ashamed of the gospel triggers the manifested power of salvation to the Jew and to the Gentile. Think about that. Look at that scripture again. "For I am not ashamed." I embrace. I agree with. I present boldly the gospel of Messiah because it is the dunamis, explosive, self-replicating presence, power of the Holy Spirit of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That's what Peter's message on Pentecost was. Thousands of people saved in one time. Every time they spoke, thousands of people saved. They shook the world. Where is that? They had the Holy Spirit to empower them. Did He go? Is He no longer here? Did the Lord lie? I don't think so. I also believe in John 12:46 when He said, "I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in Me should not abide, take permanent residence in darkness. Well, light needs a fuel source. Light needs something to sustain it, to keep it from going out. And so what HaSatan and the fallen did, said, okay, we got to trick them into covering it up, and we got to trick them into letting the fire die. I refuse to let the fire die. I'm actually believing and hoping, I've been praying this all day, that some of you began to feel the tingle. Some of you begin to feel the presence. Maybe your legs are shaking. Maybe your foot's tapping. Maybe there's this tremor. You have no idea what's going on. Maybe you can't put together two normal earthly words in one sentence in this current moment. You're just starting to get the fire. It's starting to move. The walls are starting to fall. Because that's what it's going to take to get your family saved, healed, and delivered. That's what it's going to take to deliver them. That's what it's going to take to stand together to stop this onslaught of the enemy. Not just against this nation, but against us, our families, our pets, our everything we have. His power was given to us. All things that pertain to life and godliness was given to us through our knowledge and relationship with him. Because he has called us by his glory and by his virtue. 2 Peter 1:3. Peter got it. John got it. Paul got it. James got it. They got it. That's the new covenant. That's the benefit of the relationship given to us on Calvary via the cross. People are dying, folks. Listening to Dennis Jernigan all day. I do believe in paradise, some call it heaven. I do believe that there is a final eternal punishment called hell. A lake of fire created for Satan and his angels. And I believe that people are going to be pointed to it. No matter what the New Age teaching, not what the false teachers in the world and in the church are telling people, a loving God would never do that. Nonsense. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And if you believe that, you're either lost, not born again, or you need deliverance. I believe that. I've seen the outer darkness. I've seen the torment. The Lord's given me the ability to see it. It's not a nice place. People are awaiting judgment there. Some know why they're there. And they're very angry. They're crazed. Some don't even know where they are. That's what inspires me to tell people about Yeshua. That's what inspires me, fires me up, if you will. To let people know they must be born again. You want to stay here after the rapture, you're welcome to it. You'll be really sorry you did. You want to ride it out to the end? Go right ahead. I believe if you choose that, he's going to let you. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. That's the Lord speaking red letters, and that's an eternal condemnation. And these signs will follow those who believe. This is how you'll know those who are saved and are believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Soon after the Lord spoke to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down to the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord was working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. What's it going to take? What will it take for you to believe in the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit? Scripture after scripture after scripture confirms it. But you must believe it. Why don't you believe it? Why doesn't it manifest in you? Faith is a gift of the Spirit. Why do you have so little faith? We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. We don't walk by what we see or what we know in this world. We walk by what he says in his word and what he's capable of doing. Hebrews 2, verse 1, therefore we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. There it is. If you don't take heed, you're going to drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. We need it. We need it. It's time to send men and women, old and young, full of the authority and the power of God as Messiah had in him. Remember what he said to the fathers, you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. Go, therefore, take my authority. Take the fullness of what I have inside of you, which is the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. If you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Mark 9:23. Lord, how is this possible? If you believe, this was another one of those scriptures that jumped out at me. If I believe what? If I believe that it's possible, if I believe in faith, if I believe those things can happen? No, if I believe in him. If you believe in God, if you believe in the Son, if you believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit, all things are possible to him who believes. There's no limitations. There's no limitations in Messiah. There's no limitations in the Spirit. There's no limitations in the Word, but what we put on it. The full benefits of the gospel promises are ours. John 15:7, if you abide, if you take permanent residence in me, and my words abide in you, take permanent residence in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. 15:16 of John, you did not choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. You're bearing fruit of the Spirit. You're not bearing your own fruit. I listen to people say, oh, the fruit of my ministry, this plane, this jet, this car, this building. No. You know what the fruit of my ministry is? All the people I've led to the Lord, all the people that have been healed through the casting out of demons, well over 300, stopped counting. I may not have a big building. I may not have a car. I may not have a jet, a plane, a big home. I may not have all the things that these name it and claim it fake teachers tell you is a manifestation of God, but I've got fruit. I've got the fruit of the Spirit. I've got the fruit of the Lord, and I'll put that up against what they have any day. Believers should be carrying out the full program of the gospel worldwide in works of power, even greater than what the Lord ever did, because it needs it. Because he went to the Father, we get to continue his works and do greater things. His authority, his power, his presence. But here's the deal. The world and the God of this world hated him, therefore it hates us, and it hates what I'm talking about. It challenges their way of life. It challenges their kingdom. It kicks the facade off the curtain like in The Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Really ripped the whole thing down. You've been justified by faith. You have peace with God through Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, through whom we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit given to us. We've been justified, we've been reconciled, we've been reconnected to the Father through the Lord, through the cross, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. We're no longer controlled by our sinful nature. We're controlled by the Spirit of the living God inside of us. Because, here it is, Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God, who raised Yeshua from the dead, lives in you. Why are we looking externally for him? The Spirit of him who raised up Yeshua from the dead dwells in you. He who raised up Messiah Yeshua from the dead restores your life, your mortal, your short-lived, perishable bodies through his Holy Spirit who dwells in you. If we're going to resist the fallen, sinful world and be effective for it, then that's what we must have. We must understand that we are the temple of God and that his Spirit dwells in us, 1 Corinthians 3:16. I challenge you to find anywhere in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit's external. Scripture after scripture after scripture. Don't you understand? The whole church in Corinth and us, we're his sanctuary, and that his Spirit has taken a permanent dwelling in us. He's at home with us, both collectively and individually. We are the abiding presence of God. We are the tabernacle of glory. We are the sanctuaries of the Holy Spirit. Your only other choice is to be a sanctuary for Hasatan, like Judas Iscariot, when Satan entered him. I can go on and on. I actually have two more pages. I'm not going to do it. I want you to be changed. I want you to be transformed. I want you to renew your mind. I want you to stop letting this world and the things of this world and religion and denominationalism and all the false teaching. I want you to stop in the name of Yeshua letting it change you into its mindset, into its thinking. Resist it. Meditate upon the word. I've given you pure word. I haven't watered it down. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Be transformed. Go through a metamorphosis. Change in your form from your old person to your new person. Your thought life must change. Resist everything that tries to make you change. I don't have that problem. I have a chip on my shoulder all the time. You mess with me, I'm going to push back. You tell me I'm wrong, I'm going to prove I'm right by finding out the word. Enemy's not going to change my mind. I can't get my mind changed. It's been transformed. It's been seared through the fire of the Holy Spirit. I know who I am. I know who I serve. I know why I'm here. I know he's coming back. I know he knows me by name. I have a relationship with him. I have access to the throne room. There is nothing Hasatan, the fallen, any of his demons, or his human representatives in this world can do to change my mind. It didn't happen overnight. Yeah, I was fired up from the word go. But we are transformed from glory to glory. We are regenerated by the overpowering presence of the Holy Spirit. He softens hardened areas. He, like gold, solidifies those things that need to be. Father, right now, please, in the name of Yeshua, to everyone listening to the sound of my voice, let it reverberate inside of them. Let it shake the rust off the things that are rusted. Let it break open the things that are locked. Let it clear out anything that's not of you and fill it with you. Empower them, change them, transform them. Abide with them. We need you, Holy Spirit. I don't need you to fall on me, because you're already in me. And let us show it to the world. In Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.